Yeah, praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
I hope that the Lord will give us a very clear vision concerning the songs of ascent. It's very important for us to not only see it, but experience it. The word is not just for us to know, and it's not a matter of interpretation, but it's a matter of our experience, entering into the reality of this word. So let us turn again to these outlines, just very briefly. In page 3, the second group, 123 to 125, it says, firmly rooted and grounded in Christ. After we've seen a vision of the church, to see it is not adequate. The Lord still has to make us firmly rooted in Him. Because if we are not rooted in Christ, and not just in the doctrine, and not just knowing the Bible, but really to be rooted in the living person of Christ.
Yeah,
if you're not rooted in the living person of Christ, you can easily be uprooted, moved, and get lost, actually. So, in this second group, we see that it is very important for the Lord to make us firm and rooted in Christ. Just like what 125 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Mount Zion, in chapter 1, at the end of chapter 1, or not chapter 1, group 1, we see Jerusalem, the city of peace. Mount Zion was not mentioned there. But now in the second group, Mount Zion was mentioned. Because the church is not just Jerusalem, which is the dwelling place of God. The church is also Mount Zion, the kingdom of God. It's easy to shake the house. If the earthquake comes to California, your dwelling will be shaken. Our house will be shaken. Everything will be shaken. But an earthquake cannot shake the nation of the United States. No, the United States is quite unshakable. But your house, your apartment, I don't know, in Laguna Niguel, or my house here in Fountain Valley, if there's an earthquake here, my goodness, everything will be shaken. But Mount Zion, a mountain, it's so hard to shake a mountain. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12.
Yeah.
I think it's good to see a little bit concerning Mount Zion, because it's introduced here in the second group of the Song of Ascent. In Mount Zion, it says here in verse 22, but you have come to where?
Mount Zion.
Ah, let's read it together. How about that? 22 to the end. Let's read it. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying,
Yet once more they shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of the things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is the consuming fire.
This is something different. We always love to hear that God is love. We like 1 John very much because it says God is love. But here in Hebrews chapter 12, it says our God is also what?
Consuming fire.
And you think fire is only for those who are unbelievers, right? Jesse? Well, fire, that's for the unbelievers. But this consuming fire here is not talking about a consuming fire for the unbelievers. It's talking about us who would not listen to him, who would not follow him. Everybody wants to serve God, and everybody says they're doing something for God. But it says we must serve him with reverence and godly fear. To serve God is not easy. Even to work in your job, right? Emery, is it easy? Can you imagine you're working for apples, but you're doing some oranges there instead of apple? You're selling oranges instead of apple. You think you'll stay in the company? Huh? You think Emery can keep his job selling oranges while you're working for Apple? You'll be fired. So you better have some respect for your company. And to serve with some proper fear that you might be fired. Fire. Then the company is also a consuming fire. You might get fired. I get fired. And you think our God won't fire you? He won't fire you? You can do whatever you like and he's going to retain you. But it says here in my Bible, my God is a consuming fire. He may not burn you up today, but when he comes back, you have to give an account. And at that day, you just mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 3 now.
That's right.
It says the fire will come and test each man's work, what sort it is. So, that God would not do anything today, he's giving you a chance, giving every one of us a chance to repent. But if you will not repent, when he comes, you will find out he's going to be a consuming fire. And if you go too far today, the consuming fire will consume you. Don't think that God is love, everything goes. No. And so, in these wonderful psalms, in the songs of ascent, our God wants to bring us up in our Christian life. We have to grow, we have to ascend. Don't take it for granted. No, don't take it for granted. We must ascend. You have to go up.
Amen.
You have to grow.
Yes. Amen.
If you're working for a company, you work for a company up north, right? Don't they expect you to go up? And they train you to what? To go down? No, they train you to go up. Even in your company, right? There's a thing called the corporate ladder. Not to bring you down, or the ladder is there to bring you up. Don't think our Lord doesn't have a ladder. Do you remember Jacob's ladder?
Yeah, yes.
That's a corporate ladder.
Yes.
It's a corporate ladder. What's a ladder for?
To go up.
Why do you need a ladder?
To go up.
In John chapter 1, the Lord mentions that. There's going to be a ladder in the Son of Man.
Right.
And you can see the angels ascending and descending. Well, the Lord wants to bring something heavenly down to this earth.
Right.
And the Lord wants to bring all of us up to where He is.
Amen.
Right. So, we have to ascend.
Amen.
We have to ascend. What are we building today? Are we building something that's going to be torn down when the Lord comes? Well, let me tell you, I've seen so many groups come and go. Where are they today? Where are they today? What about Crystal Cathedral? Where is it now? What is it now? If it's Mount Zion, can it just disappear? Can a mountain disappear? Do you have a mountain in Vancouver? You wake up the next morning, you look up the window, and, the mountain disappeared. It cannot be. What can be shaken should be shaken.
Right.
I often told the Lord, Lord, shake in me whatever needs to be shaken.
Amen.
Remove it.
Yeah.
I'd rather that you remove it now than later.
Amen.
Wouldn't you? What we are building today by the Lord's mercy, it should be like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. If it can be moved and removed, pray, if it can be shaken, then let it be shaken. But the Lord is building something that cannot be shaken, and that's called Mount Zion.
Amen.
And the church life, it's the church of the firstborn, it says. And it's not just we. God is there. Innumerable angels are here. It is called the heavenly city.
Amen.
It's called the heavenly Jerusalem. It's the city of the living God. It is Mount Zion. So what are we building here? Are we building here what? Just some nice fellowship? Definitely not. I hope not. I should hope not. So, we need a second group. In this second group, the Lord is helping us to trust in Him in everything that we do. Just like a slave looking at the hand of a master. The hand of the master is not the capable hand, but this hand is the directing hand. Have you ever seen a policeman? In the Philippines, you have these traffic directors there. The policeman. You have to watch his hand. His stop. Stop.
Stop.
You have to watch his hand. The policeman is not doing something there. Don't watch his hand. He's not playing with a cubic, you know. Rubik's cube. No, you watch his hand. You go. Don't say, but the light is red. But when the policeman is standing there and says like this, you better watch the hand and not the traffic light. The policeman is a living person. The traffic light is a dead gadget. If there is no policeman, you can watch that light. But if there's an officer, they're standing directing the traffic, what should you do? What would you be watching? Better. If not, you might run over the police officer. The police officer overrides the traffic lamp. When the Lord was on this earth, the Jews wanted to keep the Sabbath and didn't care for the Lord of the Sabbath. So what is more important, keeping the Sabbath or the Lord of Sabbath? They rejected the Lord of Sabbath and tried to keep that Sabbath. But what is more important? The Lord! Of course the Lord! Oh, you got a doctrine, a wonderful doctrine, and you forgot about the living Lord. As he is, that doctrine will kill you. So what if you know so much doctrines in your head? You may have the right doctrine, but hey, here's the living Lord. What do you know? You know the Bible or you know the Lord? Is this the Lord? Oh. So in this group two, the psalmist wrote, as a slave that looks to the hand of the master, as a maid that looks to the hand of his mistress. That means you learn now to be obedient to the Lord. Whatever the Lord says, you look at the hand. You know, within you, the Lord says, stop. Will you stop? Or you still go on? You know, the children, you just tell the children. The children learn to look at your fingers. That's good enough. The German finger. Yes. Those who live in Germany, they know this is the German finger. Just look at the hand, it's good enough. You don't have to say much. Learn to look at the hand of the Lord. Here's the Lord says, just stop. Stop. Write a manual. If your mama says, just stop. It's very important to learn to look at the hand of the Lord. That means at this stage, you learn obedience. You know, people always told me, well, it's so difficult to listen to the Lord. I said, no, why? Why should it be so different and so difficult? It's because you never learned to listen to Him. So many times within you, the Lord says, quiet. And you cannot control your lips. You still say them. And what happens after you talk? Disaster. Quarreling. Fighting. But the Lord already told you, stop. So many times I like to say something and the word comes up to here. I swallow it back because the Lord says, stop. Stop. Don't say it. Stop. If I don't listen to the Lord and I comes up, it's going to be disaster. It's going to be quarreling, fighting. Going to stir up other people's flesh and soul. Then I say one word, you say two, then I say four, you say eight words, and at the end we start to fight and quarrel. There will be no peace. Many times your mind are thinking and the Lord says, stop. Will you stop? Many times you're watching TV or playing computer games and the Lord says, stop, come to me. Spend some time with me. Will you listen? Do you look at his hands? Have you learned to watch him? And then you're complaining only when you are Lord, where should I go? Should I study this and should I allow you for such a thing? Then you want to have all ears to listen to the Lord, but you have never listened to him. So how can the Lord speak to you? You have never learned. It's now the Lord doesn't speak. It's you don't have an ear to listen. That's why in the book of Revelation it says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Our problem is we don't have an ear to hear. That is our problem. So in this second group here, to be firmly rooted and grounded in Him, obedience is very important. I mention it many times in Hebrews chapter 5. Even the Lord Himself, being a human being on this earth, He had to learn obedience.
Yes.
Through the things He suffered.
Yeah.
It is not easy to obey the Lord. So, to serve the Lord, being a servant, it's not that, oh, I'm so capable, I can do so many things. Then I'll be doing a lot of things He didn't ask me to do. I've heard mention about Matthew chapter 7. Lord, Lord, have I not preached? In Your name have I not cast out demons in Your name? Have I not done so many good things in Your name? What if the Lord says, depart from me, ye workers of lawlessness? Or, like it says here in Psalm 125, the workers of iniquities. Workers of iniquities is the same as that word here, ye workers of iniquities, of lawlessness. Same word, lawless. What does it mean, lawless? You don't listen, you don't do what the law says. The Lord didn't tell you to go, you just go. The Lord told you to stop, you still go. And do whatever you like to go. You know, in the Bible, there is such a sin in Psalm 19 called the sin of what? Presumptuous sin. You just presume the Lord wants you to do this, and you just go, hey, why not? It's not bad, so I just go and do it. The problem is not whether it's good or bad. The problem is whether the Lord wants you to do it or not. You know, when I was in Crystal Cathedral, just a year ago, or this year, this year.
Yeah,
this year. Because my window was broken, somebody tried to break the window, so I had to have it fixed. And that window, the guy who fixed the company there, is just around the corner of Crystal Cathedral, so they told me, oh, you have to wait for an hour and a half or an hour, and so come back. I said, what should I do? He said, just walk around. So I said, okay, I'll walk around. And lo and behold, Crystal Cathedral is just around the corner. So I walked in, and it became a tourist place because it's sold to the Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholic, I hate to call it church, but... I walked in and there's an older gentleman there, an usher, showing people around. And, you know, he said he has been serving there for 40 years. So I asked him. I said, I'm a Christian too. Do you think the Lord, when He comes, or the Lord, would build something like this? He couldn't answer me. He could not answer. Our Lord would never build something like that. He would build something heavenly. He's building the New Jerusalem, a heavenly city. He's not going to build something like that. So because he didn't answer, I answered for him. I said, I don't think my Lord will build something like this. Because the Lord is not like that. To make the long story short, you should not do anything that the master didn't want to do. You may say, Lord, but I built this for you. The Lord didn't want that. So what's the Lord going to do with that? Burn it, Lord will say at the very end. Burn it. Will you burn it? You know, the disciples show the Lord the wonderful temple there. Yeah. Oh, it's a beautiful piece of architecture. Especially, it was renovated by Herod. You know, Herod is a building freak. Really, you read history, he is a building freak. He's an architectural freak. He likes to build beautiful. And so he beautified the temple even more. So the disciples told the Lord, Lord, look, look. Wow. What did the Lord say? You're right. Wow. Then the Lord says, wow. The Lord says, whoa. Now, wow. Whoa. Whoa. Not one stone is going to remain upon the other. It's going to be fully destroyed. If the Lord would destroy that thing, you think he's not going to destroy this thing? Whatever will be shaken should be shaken.
Yes.
Except Mount Zion. Mount Zion cannot be shaken.
Amen.
We have received an unshakable what?
Unshakable
kingdom. The church must be the Lord's kingdom here on this earth today.
Amen.
It's not a fellowship. It's not a group or men's organization. No, no. No, you're greatly mistaken if you think the church is just a place for Sunday worship and Monday through Saturday, it's a cold, empty building. You expect the Lord to dwell there? That's God's dwelling place? Have you not read, the Lord says, the Almighty God who created the heavens and the earth, he doesn't dwell in a dwelling place made by hands. So, meaning to say, whatever your hands and my hands could build for him is not acceptable. Sorry, you may be very capable. But whatever you built, the Lord says, you dwell in it. It's your house. It's not my house. My house is a heavenly house. It's a heavenly city. It's even not just a house, it's a city. And it's a nation. The Lord wants a nation. Peter says, you are a holy nation.
Yes.
A holy nation. Wow. God wants is Israel. What is Israel? A house? What is Israel? It's a nation. It should represent God's kingdom on this earth. But unfortunately, they disobeyed God. And they went to worship idols. They forsake the living God. So what happened? So God forsook them. God even invited Nebuchadnezzar to come and says, destroy it. So don't think that building God's house is very easy. Oh, sometimes we are so naive, we thought God's building is, oh, yeah, just get a few people, or two or three, or we are the church. Yeah, you are too, I don't know what to say. We just don't follow God's way. You know why we don't follow God's way? Because you are proud. Because you are proud. You're arrogant. You think you know better. So you have a lot of good suggestion. Oh, just do this and do that. And if we just do this and you do that and he does this and we do all this, then it's okay. And nobody can convince you otherwise. Why is it like that? Because you have a problem. Not only the lying lips and the deceitful tongue, the wild nature, the dark nature, one who hates peace. Now you're also a proud one.
Yes.
A proud man will never receive anything from any people. Because you think you know better. So if you think you know better, nobody can tell you anything. You will not even listen to the Lord. Why is it you don't listen? Because you think, I'm right. I'm okay. Why should I listen? You know, when the Lord was on this earth, he never for once did anything by himself. Never. But what he sees the Father, that he did. What he heard from the Father, that he spoke. He said, the Son can do nothing of himself. How about you and I? Oh, wow, we are so capable. I can do it. I'll do it. The Lord needs me. Of course I need him, but he also needs me. You're laughing. But that's what we are. We always like to add another clause. We always like to add a little bit something in it. And that something that you added is called leaven. It's called leaven. In John chapter 15, the Lord says, without me, or detached from me, or apart from me, you can do nothing. He says, yeah, but I'm still a branch, and he needs me too. Why did not John 15 say that? But why do you have to add that one little, tiny little phrase, says, but he needs me too, right? Forget it. If he needs you, he'll let you know. You don't have to be so conscious of the Lord needs me. Why? If the Lord needs you, as it's sich meldet, he'll let you know. He needs Moses. Moses didn't feel, well, the Lord needs me. No. The Lord didn't appear to Moses. Until he totally felt he could do nothing anymore. Yes. Then God appeared to Moses. So when God appeared to Moses and told Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh and bring my people out. Moses, Lord, you better send Bob or somebody else to send him. I can't do it. Why are you so concerned? Don't be so concerned. If God wants you to do something, he'll let you know. If your company wants you to do something, the CEO or your manager will come to you. Don't go to him every day. Manager, here I am. You need me. Is there anything I can do for you? You say, yes, get lost. Get lost. You mentioned... Who is John? You mentioned Acts chapter 13 about the church in Antioch. Did Paul come to God every day? Okay, now, here I am. How come you still didn't send me? What should I do? I'm here waiting all the time, Lord. Lord? No. They were fasting, they were praying. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke. Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas. That's it. So everything is initiated by God. You just have to learn to wait for his mercy. You know that God will use you, it's not because you're capable, yeah, but because he is, yeah, merciful.
Amen. Amen.
Did not the Lord say that we are all unprofitable servants?
Yes.
You know, to say that you are unprofitable before you go out to do things, it's easy. But after you have done so much and come back and to say you are an unprofitable servant, I think it's difficult. But the Lord said, after the servant has done everything, and everything well, according to God's word, to come back and says, I am an unprofitable servant. That is hard to say. That's very hard to say. Because after you've done such a good job, well, especially somebody comes and, well, he will say, good job, good job, wow, wow, good job, good job. You think he will say, oh, I'm an unprofitable servant? He will say, yeah, 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 praise the Lord. He will say, praise the Lord. Won't you do that? You say, praise the Lord. Because when I say, good job, wonderful, wonderful, I'm boosting your ego. Mm. I'm just stirring up the pride that is in you to make you fall. We think we are giving an encouraging word, but we are giving a word that will cause you to fall.
Mm. I mean,
that is the problem. That is why in Psalm 123, there is a problem of pride and arrogance. That needs to be dealt with.
Amen.
Don't think we are not proud. We are all proud.
Yes.
We are all fallen, our fallen human nature. And one of the most evil things is pride and arrogance. We have written down a verse there concerning the pride. Proverbs 6, let us read it before we stop.
Yeah.
And I hope that every one of us will pay attention to this verse.
Right after Psalms.
Proverbs 6. Beginning in verse 16. Six things the Lord hates. Oh, you believe the Lord can hate? Iman. Have you ever read that the Lord hates?
Yes.
Oh, yes, that's good. Yes, seven. Six plus one is,
yeah,
seven. Or an abomination to him.
Mm.
What's number one?
Problem.
Oh, goodness, that's the top of the list. That's the top of the list. You like this list? I have never seen anyone posting this and put it in a frame and hang it on the wall. Have you?
No.
Maybe some of us should, huh? Next time I go visit your home, maybe Proverbs 6 will be on your wall. Oh, Lord. A proud look. You know, if you're a proud person, people can see it in your face already.
Yeah.
They can see it already in your face. Yeah. A proud look. Number two in the list?
A lying tongue.
Well, these two are mentioned. These two are mentioned in the Psalm. Number two in the list is a lying tongue. So, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. How about that? To cause division and discord among brethren. Oh, the Lord hates that. And we should all hate what the Lord hates. Because this will destroy the church. This will destroy the church. That is why in this second group, it is so important to deal with this. And you cannot deal with it just by the doctrine. No, no, no. The Lord has to bring us through a lot of situations. Without the environment and a situation. You know, when the Lord was on this earth, He is God. He is not just a normal person. And for Him to receive so much mistreatment from the people He created, you think it's easy? If I were Him, I couldn't stand it. Maybe for 1 week I could stand it, but for 33 and a half years, especially the last 3.5, and for somebody to spit at you. How about that? Do you like that? Couldn't take it. If you couldn't take it, you think the Son of God could take it. If somebody just said a little bit to you in the church life or among the friends already, immediately your defensive mechanism does automatically come up and you would defend yourself and fight right away, right? Yes. Wouldn't you do that? You're not married yet. After you're married, your wife will say something, immediately your defense mechanism. And there will be problems, war. Why is it? Because we are proud. We cannot take it. Just a little thing, you know. We're proud. We cannot take it. We really cannot take it. And to learn, it is not simple. That's why Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of a mind? He, being God, He put aside His glory. He lowered Himself. He emptied Himself, not just to become a man, but to become a slave. When the psalmist says, I am no man, but I am a worm, it's not talking about you and me, it's talking about the Lord lowering Himself to become just nothing, like a worm. You like to be a worm? No, nobody likes to be a worm. I don't like to be a worm. But our Lord Jesus became a worm. Stepped on by people. Would you like that? Especially in this age. Nobody likes that. Everybody wants to have their rights. It's the human rights. And although everybody is wrong, but they want to have the right. May the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
That we learn.
Yes.
That we learn.
Amen.
You know, on one hand, it did say in this psalm, have mercy on us.
Yeah.
Have mercy on us, O Lord. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. People mock you. What? You are the church? Are you, what? You know, I feel it's very good for us. Instead of reacting, we should lower ourselves. Don't say, hey, you're wrong, we are right. It's not about right and wrong. But it's about what God desires. And if it is God's desire, then I have no reason at all to defend him, nor to defend myself. Because we are just doing what God wants us to do, and that's it. And what is there to be proud of? There's no need to be proud. So, for you to learn to lower yourself, you need to experience a lot of contempt. But you cannot even receive a little criticism from your wife or from your friends or from the brothers or from your husband or children. You cannot. You cannot. Why? Because you are a proud person. Somebody tells you you're wrong immediately. Why? Explain. But even if he explains correctly, you think you'll receive it? I doubt it. I really doubt it. I really doubt it. So the Lord allowed that for his people to suffer contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with scorn of those who are at ease, with the contempt of the proud, you know. That's good for them. You know, look at the Lord when he was on this earth. How much contempt. How much mockery. People didn't receive him, even his own home, even in his own family. People are looking down on him. What? You're the Son of God? I know your parents. I know your father and mother. I know where you came from. Bethlehem and Nazareth, of all the places you grew up in. Oh, look in the scriptures whether there's anything good that came out of Nazareth. Nothing good. Well, why did the Lord choose Nazareth? If you have a choice, you would like to be born in the wild. Jerusalem, of course, that's the place to be born. That's where all those big shots are. Right? And to be born in the family of the high priest, wow. You'll gain your purpose right after you're born immediately. You'll be great. Why did God choose Nazareth? If you were the Lord, it was a... Father, are you sure?
Made a mistake.
Have you not read? The father said, that's my word here. What do you mean, have I not read? But God chose Nazareth. Why? Why? Because the Lord has to learn obedience. When the Lord was praying, choosing the 12 disciples, the 11 is okay, but the 12th, Judas. Did you make a mistake? Judas, you made a mistake. Without question, our Lord accepted. If it were me, over my dead body. Especially I know that he's going to betray me. Betray me! Goodness, I'll betray you first. That's it. What did the Lord do? Whatever you want to do, do it quickly. But are we like this? We have much to learn. We want to be for the building, but we don't want to lower ourselves. We are for Zion. Everybody wants to be the head. How can we build up the church if we are like that? That's why the next psalm says, if it were not that the Lord was on our side, we would have been swallowed up. How wonderful it is. You know, you may think, oh, it's nothing there. Oh, what do you mean there's nothing there? And it says twice, let Israel say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, don't say, wow, we are so great. You know, every time Israel would think that they did it with their own power, they are in trouble.
Yes.
Every time, really, every time. David, wow, David thought, look at the army. Wow, look at this wonderful kingdom that I have. What I have done, immediately judgment came. Immediately.
Yes.
And it was a terrible judgment. Thousands died. Don't think our God is a merciful God. He will let you do everything. No. He is full of mercy, yes. But there is another side to it that we all need to realize. If not, the Lord will still have to wait for His church to be ready. I don't care what people say. It does not really matter. I care what He says. Whatever He says, that counts. Whatever anybody says, you know, when the Lord was on this earth, a lot of people had a lot of things to say. Well, if you want to care for what people say, you won't get things done what the Lord wants, right? So many people said so many things about the Lord. If the Lord is like you and me, oh, be careful what He says. Well, I shouldn't do this because He's going to say that. I shouldn't do this because He's going to say this. You think the redemption will be accomplished? Nothing will be accomplished. No. That's why we learn at the very end, just like the Psalms tell us in group 3, those who trust in the Lord. It doesn't matter what people say. Don't worry about that. The only one thing you have to worry is what He says.
Amen.
If you're sure about that, and He spoke to you, stick to it.
Yes.
Don't be moved.
Yes.
I don't care what people say. It doesn't really matter. People with loose tongues and deceitful, lying lips and deceitful tongue, they have a lot of things to say. Let them say it. It doesn't really matter. But it is what God says that counts. I think that's good enough to summarize these 3 Psalms here. At the end, we will be like Mount Zion. Cannot be moved. And if that's the case, then all the crooked ways will have no room in Mount Zion.
Amen.
Yeah. Right. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
May the Lord have mercy on all of us.
Yes.
Amen.
I hope that we will see the importance of the second group.
Amen.
Because without that,
yeah,
it will be hard for the Lord to build up His church.
That's right.
That's why it's not easy to build up His church.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.